Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 25th of January, recording at 9:19 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were mostly easier. Japan was an exception, and so was Australia, Asia-Pacific, in the Asian-Pacific region. And European stock markets, mostly a little lower, no big percentage moves, although, well, I say that Spain and Italy up in the 1.4% category. In the Americas, well, it was an interesting day on Wall Street. Spent most of the day on the downside. I think the Dow was down about 70 points at one stage, but ended up down only 3, and the NASDAQ and the S&P actually scored small gains. So steady action there still. Good relative performance overall. In long-dated government bond prices, we had some rallies. The U.S. Treasuries rallied quite sharply at one stage, albeit within their range. I think a large auction of two-year notes had met with plenty of demand. Currently, the U.S. 30-year long bond futures are up just over a point. So they've given up some of those gains. Elsewhere now, in precious metals, we had quite a bit of selling activity. Well, I don't want to exaggerate. We've seen. Let me just spell it out. The palladium is last trading down $32.50. That's brought it back to $784. That was one of the bigger hits. Platinum considerably smaller, but still down $30, smaller in percentage terms. Pulled that back to 1789 as I speak. Gold dipped down to 1322 and is $10 above that right now, but still slightly lower on the day. And silver has drifted down to 2683. Industrial commodities were weaker pretty much across the boards here today. Crude oil down to 86.25 on the NYMEX, although there's about an $8 to $8.50 spread between NYMEX crude and Brent, which Owen has written about today. What else looks relevant in here? I think those are just a little bit more of this retreat in coffees in commodities generally evident today. Although in the grain and bean complex, we saw wheat shrug off some early selling pressure and close with a modest gain. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, I think commodities are at the center of concerns, and that's as expected, really. Commodities were frequently described by me as an opportunity, in that we, going back several months and just a few weeks ago, we had lots of evidence of upside scope, particularly in the agricultural commodities, which took over the running in a big way relative to the industrial commodities. But that was also sowing the seeds of its own destruction, in that soaring commodity prices would worry governments and regulators. And we've seen that with the CFTC announcing that it was looking into speculation. I reported on that, I think it was back on the 13th of this month, when that was announced. And Of course, when you get a lot of concern about commodity price inflation, that creates a headwind for stock markets. And most of all, that headwind is evidenced in Asia, where households pay a much higher percentage of their income on food than in the West. So I think that's really the main story right now, in a nutshell, that commodity price inflation, which led to some increases in short-term interest rates by central banks in Asia, spooked investors following what had been some phenomenal gains in those Asian stock markets, not least in the ASEAN sector. And these all became quite overextended, as you will probably recall, back around November. And they've been in a mean reversion, ranging sideways to somewhat lower process subsequently. India's been hit a little bit harder. It also had a terrific 2 years, but became overextended back in October and November of last year. And then there were some government scandals and some inept moves, apparently, or as certainly reported by some of our subscribers, regarding foods and food price inflation has been a big problem in India at a time of high valuations. And you know how it is with stock markets, with an emerging market, progressing market such as India, that when that well, that high valuations will not be that much of a deterrent to many investors when the relative performance is still quite strong. But throw in a few problems, such as the inflation and corruption stories, and then suddenly it's seen as way overvalued and in the eyes. In other words, we get this U-turn, having exaggerated the upside scope, we get an exaggerated reaction, and that's really where we are today. My own view is that India has seen almost certainly over half of whatever reaction or correction that it's likely to get. It'll probably go a bit lower. If it surprises us by how much lower it goes on the downside, it'll be an outstanding buy. but overall, I think we have an environment which we'll see a bit of investor nervousness. There's been a switch away from Asia towards towards the West, and particularly towards the USA. That's a fashion change, and it'll probably continue for a while. And a year from now, and probably a lot sooner than that, maybe 6 months from now, people will be saying, well, wait a minute, these Asian valuations have really come down relative to Wall Street, and the growth potential is a great deal higher. So this is all part of the swings and roundabouts of markets, as far as I'm concerned, and it's something that we've commented on all along. The relative strength of Wall Street became very apparent in early December and was commented on here on practically a daily basis. And I think that relative strength on Wall Street is a good sign overall. Remember when everybody was terrified that the U.S. economy was going into a depression and or that it would be a Japanese-style deflation. And it really wasn't all that long ago. While people are no longer talking about that, we do know that the debt problems, the sovereign debt problem, the private debt problems, and the unemployment is going to remain a headwind for the U.S. economy, really for quite some time. But the important point is that It's not in a deep recession, let alone depression, and it's not in a Japanese style deflationary spiral, as so many had feared. And overall, if Wall Street is firm generally, that tends to cushion the downward reactions that we may see elsewhere. Now, mind you, I wouldn't rule out the possibility of some corrective action on Wall Street fairly soon as well. And I have actually opened a couple of hedge short positions in the U.S. indices, as you probably realize. But I think that the main point I should emphasize here for moving on from equities is that the environment is probably that we're likely to see is probably conducive more to some rangy, choppy action following the good gains that we had seen towards year end and in early January, rather than big trending moves. The gains that we saw last year were exceptional, as were the gains in the year before. And so we're probably going to see more of a normal year, at least perhaps over the next few months. Okay, what about these long-dated government bond prices? I think it's just a matter of time before they go a bit lower. But I have described the action in U.S. Treasury bond futures. Which is that's the group that I'm really concentrating on, long-dated Treasury futures, but the various other Western and Japanese long-dated government contracts have similar patterns that it looks as if yields are in a bottoming out base building phase. I think it's quite apparent that the yields have bottomed some time ago. Back in that 2008, 2009 period. It's just a matter of how much base building we get before long-term downtrends in the yields are clearly broken and before bond futures prices resume their overall upward trends. And I will play it accordingly. I have small short positions at the moment in U.S. Treasuries. I increased my stake there today. Now, in currencies, the dollar is soft against the usual group of hard currencies, and those are led by resources producers and the stronger Asian economies. Think Singapore as one of the very solid lower risk Asian economies, whereas a country that is known for its political instability, Thailand, which had a very strong Thai baht until a month or so ago, and we've seen the baht weaken fairly sharply recently. That was one of the reasons why I did sell my Aberdeen New Thai position a short while ago. Okay, what else to mention here? In terms of precious metals, now again, this is a mean reversion process overall, and we've seen gold close its overextension relative to the 200-day moving average quite considerably. It's not yet right back to the MA. And it may not get that far back, but it still has a downward bias here in the short term, and I think that leads to a bit more vulnerability in the rest of the sector. That's dragged silver down, which hit a new high. What was it last month? possibly even the beginning of this month. I think Palladium hit a new high at the beginning of this month and fell back sharply here today, as you know. So we're definitely seeing some profit taking in here, and that shouldn't be all that surprising. Gold is a religion for some, and when you get just about everybody agreeing that the one really important cornerstone to every portfolio needed to be gold, well, that's a little bit overdone. I don't feel that the gold secular bull market is over. It's a secular bull market for all of the precious metals. I mean, I really feel that the industrial commodities in general are in a secular bull market or super cycle, as I've also called it. But in the medium term, short to medium term, we have the overhang of this CFTC discussion and review of speculation in commodities. Now, that's going to, as I say, drag on. It'll be highly political. There'll be a power play between the Republicans and the Democrats. But those aren't the main points. And something will say, will anything come of it at the end of the day? Well, no one really knows at this stage. I think that the answer to that, in terms of what the CFTC actually does or is allowed to do, will be influenced by what commodities have done in the interim. And the short-term impact, and this is not the first time I've mentioned this, but given that CFTC announcement, that is certainly not an incentive that they're in doing a study of speculation and commodities. That is certainly not an incentive for one single person to increase their long exposure to commodities. However, it is a reminder to a lot of people who have commodity exposure that they should perhaps cut it back a bit. And partly because they don't want to be caught out by any surprise announcements. There won't be any of those anytime soon, but there could be some negative data which is produced, almost certainly will be at some point. And they don't want to be, a number of the big institutional buyers of these tracker funds in commodities don't want to be singled out. They'd rather stay below the radar, and therefore they're going to be a little bit more cautious. So weigh it all up, and the CFTC program that we are seeing in terms of commodity speculation can only lead to a percentage of people chopping out of their long positions and deterring a little bit of demand. So we've seen that certainly in the last few weeks, and it's taken exceptionally strong fundamentals, such as we've seen with a grain and bean complex, to actually buck that trend. But they will not be impervious to a pullback, which has really been led by gold. And has spread to other commodities generally. Now, while that may disappoint some of the people who have been trading commodities as I have, it doesn't disappoint me, incidentally. I said before we saw this recent weakness that while I was positioned long and had been for quite some time. I kind of hoped that these commodities, I definitely hoped that these commodities would not go through and fulfill all of their upside technical potential, because that would cause serious problems. And that's still very much my view. And so the softening that we're actually seeing in commodity prices is the reduction of a problem. So again, commodity price inflation, which nobody was talking about 6 months ago, but then worked its way to the front pages, certainly of the financial press. That's where we don't want to see it. And as that subsides, that will be a stabilizing factor for the global economy overall. Now, one last point I would like to make just on Wall Street's current relative strength. The US economy has been helped by its shale gas developments, and the US economy is really the only economy that has been very, very active, and it invented the technology and has led the way in terms of shale gas, much as the US did early in the last century in terms of developing crude oil potential. End result of this is it'll use up its shale gas faster than other countries. But the short term effect that we have seen, short to medium term effect, has been that that has been a contributing factor keeping the light sweet Texas crude prices lower. There are other factors as well, as you can read about in Owen's section on crude oil for today. But there is no doubt that the shale gas developments have kept natural gas in the US and crude oil in the US lower than what we see in Europe or Asia. And that's been a cushion for the US economy. And I think that those lower costs of energy in the United States have also been a factor here in corporate earnings. One of the factors in corporate earnings. Okay. And I think on that note, I think that's covered all the important points that I wanted to mention. So, all the best once again.